Gospel text is from the Gospel according to John, and it is the resurrection of Jesus and the appearance of Jesus to Mary Magdalene. We hear what the Spirit is saying to the church, that early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb, and she saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb, so she ran and she went to Simon Peter and the other disciple whom Jesus loved and said to them that they have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they've laid him. So Peter and the other disciples set out, and they went towards the tomb to investigate. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first, bent down to look in. He saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Simon Peter came following, went into the tomb, saw the linen wrappings lying there and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head lying there with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. The other disciple who reached the tomb first then also went in. He saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture that Jesus must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes. Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. And as she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" And Mary replied to the two angels in white, "They've taken away my Lord, and I don't know where they've laid him." Well, when Mary had said this, she then turned around and saw Jesus there, but she didn't know that it was Jesus, who said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? For whom are you looking?" Well, supposing him to be the gardener, Mary said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary?" She turned and then said to him in Hebrew, recognizing his voice, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus then charged Mary, do not cling to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. And Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, I have seen the Lord. And she told them that Jesus had said these things to her. The Gospel of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
So this being a corporate enterprise here, this is worship by the community of faith, you have a big role this morning, and I don't want you to miss your big role. So you want to make sure you have your hymnal open to 233, the day of resurrection, because when the cue comes, you want to know that now's our time. This is a very, very ancient hymn. Well, there's even a little note at the bottom that tells us that the roots of this English text come from the 8th century Greek hymn. So this is like some 1,300 years old, probably a lot older than that, that continues to be used in Orthodox churches. Orthodox churches are churches of the East, Greece, Romania, Hungary, Ukraine, Syria. They're Christian, but they are of the Eastern traditions here. And they sing this, well, they sing it in their particular language, at the midnight Eucharist service. That's the very beginning of Easter. It begins at midnight. At Holy Saturday, Great Holy Saturday, ends at midnight, and that begins their Easter with a vigil. So we've got to be ready for this. It was about 500 years ago, well, 1582 to be exact, when the Gregorian calendar took effect, because Pope Gregory XIII signed a papal bull that promulgated the calendar reforms, and that then became the Gregorian calendar. It is by the Gregorian calendar that calculations are made, complex as they are, having to do with new moons and so on and so forth, that we come up with a date for Easter each year, and so this is the date if you are adhering to the Gregorian calendar, and that's pretty much Western churches. So Roman Catholics, Protestant traditions, and some others. But the Orthodox churches, just alluded to here, they are governed by the ancient Julian calendar that goes way, way, way back, and that calendar lags a bit behind the Gregorian calendar. So the Eastern Orthodox churches will be celebrating Easter this year, next Sunday. So we may have different calendars. We may be celebrating the resurrection of the Lord, the Easter Day celebration, on different Sundays, but we read the same text. We affirm the same theological concepts and principles, one of them being a core one for this day, and that is the inseparable link between crucifixion and resurrection. You cannot have one without the other. You want to be resurrected? You have to die. Maybe you don't have to be crucified, but you have to die. There is an inseparable link between death and new life in Christ. We enact that in some ways in the sacrament of baptism, where our old life dies and we become new people in Christ. Darkness and light. So you have these dualities, these modals, if you will, that we affirm with the Eastern Orthodox sisters and brothers in Christ. So whether you're West or East or whichever day, it's still the same gospel message. Now, the Eastern Orthodox service begins at the end of the great Holy Saturday midnight. So if this was next week, they would already have begun 11 hours now of their vigil and be celebrating the particular Easter liturgy. Now, to understand, to comprehend the Eastern Orthodox liturgy, you first of all have to describe its setting. You have to get its context. Because we being Westerners, we're used to things like, well, like Gothic cathedrals, you know, like Notre Dame, for instance. Or you could think of St. John the Divine in New York City, or many, many other of the great cathedrals in Europe, and even some of them in the United States, which do what? They thrust upward so high they seemingly pierce the heavens. Or you can think of maybe the so-called tall spire churches with a needle that is pointing up. That's what that architecture is trying to evoke from us. You walk into a Gothic church, you look up, it is the heavens, and you experience the mysterium tremendum. Okay, but in the Eastern Orthodox churches, they have the domes, right? You see domes, you can see them in some churches in the city of Pittsburgh, there are some scattered throughout Allegheny County, and if you've traveled, you see them in some other cities. The domes. The dome is the universe. It is self-contained. So when you go inside an Eastern Orthodox church, what's painted, the fresco, the icon on the inside of the dome, is Christ the King. That is heaven. We're not piercing the heavens, we're not pointing to the heavens. No, that is heaven. And Christ the King, the Pantocrator, is gazing down upon the people. Always present, omnipresent, omniscient, Christ, the King. At floor level, this is Mother Earth. And Mother Earth has different areas. There is what you want to call a vestibule, an entryway, the narthex, the foyer. That is where the catechumens, the hearers of the word, they're not yet card-carrying Christians. They're people who are listening. They're people who are being formed in the faith. Well, we're all always being formed in the faith, but they are technically not yet inside the interior. Inside here is the nave, which comes from the Latin for this is the ship, this is the hull. This is where all the people are gathered who are under the watchful eye and care of the Pantocrator, Christ the King. This is Mother Earth. And then there is an area up here, complex to describe, very, very different from us, but This is where there is an altar table. They have different terminology, but it is still the place where the Eucharist is celebrated. All the walls are totally covered in frescoes. There is not a speck of bare wall anywhere. There are simply gospel stories, Old Testament stories. There are simply the biblical text all around you in any way, shape, or form. Some of them are narrative, some of them are isolated panels. Up here we have all of the icons. And so those are pictures. Sometimes we have pictures of deceased relatives or friends or maybe people who are overseas. And we talk to them. It's not weird or strange any more than when Eastern Orthodox talk to their icons. They're living images of people whom they celebrate and revere, the saints of all places and all ages. So you have up here, you have the altar space. It's important to understand the context because this is the entire universe. This is a cosmic creation of the heavens and the earth, and we are living in it. This is where the liturgy occurs. It's not, you see, out there. It's not up there in the heavens. It is right here. And Christ, the Pantocrator, is present with us. Now, you gather on the great and holy Saturday, and just prior to midnight, well, sometime before midnight, the entire worship space, the entire sanctuary goes dark, pitch black dark. That's not hard for Ukrainians to imagine today, because their entire world has gone virtually dark for the last, 50 some odd days. They suffer under a constant rain of Russian missiles destroying their cities, their towns, their villages, their homes, their hospitals, their schools, anywhere and everywhere. It is not just even virtually dark, it is dark. It is death, destruction. It is demonic. They are living in a crucified time. But there is one little light. It would be akin to this eternal light of peace. It's one tiny little candle near the altar table. And precisely at midnight. Now this is the day of resurrection. That's when their day of resurrection begins. Midnight. And with that, the priest... Well, this is rather puny. It is a gigantic Paschal candle. Paschal is the Lord's Passover. Pascha is the common term for Easter around the world. English-speaking countries tend to use the word Easter, but Pascha is the common word, no matter where you go. And they have a giant Paschal candle, Easter candle, and the priest steps forward the altar, raises it up high, and then he lights it from the little altar candle. So we'll have to imagine we're having the little altar candle there. Come, receive the unwanted light. Come, receive the rejected light. Come, receive the undesired light. Well, now all the altar servers come up forward, and they are going to light. Everyone has a little candle. It's kind of like Christmas Eve. Everybody has a little candle. They all light a little candle from the Paschal candle. Yes, and we'll simply place this here by the font, which is actually its proper place. The light and the font always go together for baptism and for death. You begin your journey in baptism. You conclude your baptismal journey. And the light of Christ is always present. You all have a candle. You are the witnesses. You are experiencing the Paschal liturgy. You're not watching it. You're not hearing it. You are the witnesses. So all of the altar servers come with their little candles. Again, it's kind of like Christmas Eve. And they are going to light all the candles here. So the darkness, the destruction, the death, the demonic is dispelled. It is totally light now, right? Light overcomes dark. Resurrection overcomes crucifixion. New life overcomes death. Now they have a procession. So somebody will come down the center aisle here. Gospel book. And they proceed down here with the gospel book. They turn and they read the resurrection text as we did this morning. The resurrection text is shrouded in images of darkness and tomb and tomb and tomb and death and destruction and the end of the world and theft and grave robbers and body snatchers. It's the end of the world. This is not hard for Ukrainian Christians to understand today, is it? They understand and experience crucifixion. The only way to us fully embrace and understand resurrection is for us to understand crucifixion. But God forbid, we don't want to wish that we have bombs rain upon our towns, villages, homes, hospitals, schools. But they understand crucifixion. And they hear the gospel message of resurrection, that light overcomes dark, that resurrection overcomes death and crucifixion. At which point erupts the Paschal Troparion. The Paschal Troparion is an ancient, ancient hymn that goes back, well, Lord knows how many years, hundreds and hundreds of years. It's just one stanza. But being Eastern Orthodox, they're Trinitarian. Sometimes Trinitarianism gone mad. They want to sing it three times, because whatever you do in an Eastern Orthodox church, you're going to do three times. So we've done this before, so you can join with me. Christ is risen from the dead, trampling down death by death, and to those in the tombs bestowing life. Christ is risen from the dead, trampling down death by death, and to those in the tombs bestowing life. Christ is risen from the dead, trampling down death by death, and to those in the tombs bestowing life. Now they typically hear crucifixion, resurrection, death, new life, dark, light. Now the entire congregation sings this 1,300-year-old Paschal hymn, which we call the Day of Resurrection. First stanza. Destruction, demonic, has been overcome by life, new life in Christ by resurrection. Some people experience the liturgy, some people hear the gospel and believe, and their lives are turned around, they are transformed.
they grow in the faith day by day. Some people hear and taste and see, but do not believe. So be it. But the light has overcome darkness and will triumph in the name of Christ.